भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 1, text 28. Arjuna uvacha drishtve mang swajanang krishna yuyutsam samupasthitam siddhanti mamagatrani mukhangcha parisushyati. Arjuna said, my dear Krishna, seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering and my mouth drying up. Purport. Any man who has genuine devotion to the Lord has all the good qualities which are found in godly persons or in the demigods. Whereas the non-devotee, however advanced he may be in material qualifications by education and culture, lacks in godly qualities. As such, Arjuna, just after seeing his kinsmen, friends, and relatives on the battlefield, was at once overwhelmed by compassion for them who had so decided to fight among themselves. As far as his soldiers were concerned, he was sympathetic from the beginning, but he felt compassion even for the soldiers of the opposite party, foreseeing their imminent death. And while he was so thinking, the limbs of his body began to quiver and his mouth became dry. He was more or less astonished to see their fighting spirit. Practically the whole community, all blood relatives of Arjuna, had come to fight with him. This overwhelmed a kind devotee like Arjuna. Although it is not mentioned here, still one can easily imagine that not only were Arjuna's bodily limbs quivering and his mouth drying up, but he was also crying out of compassion. Such symptoms in Arjuna were not due to weakness, but to his soft-heartedness, a characteristic of a pure devotee of the Lord. It is said, therefore, yasyasti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvair gunais tatra sumasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manorathena sati dhavato bahihi. One who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead has all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. We read the verse translation and the purport to this verse. Srila Prabhupada used the word purport. Generally we'd think that the term commentary should be given. But purport, in other words, Bhagavad Gita as it is, the word purport gives the idea that this is what it actually means. This is how it's to be understood. Which also, just like Srila Prabhupada mentions here in this verse, although it is not mentioned here, one can still to extrapolate from the situation, that Srila Prabhupada is very confident that what he's giving is Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is what Krishna means. This is what Krishna has to say. Several times, different people, on various occasions, different people talk about the interpretation, your interpretation. Srila Prabhupada said, no, not interpretation. not my interpretation, what Krishna wants to say. I'm specifically mentioning this now because twice since I arrived here in Charlotte yesterday, I've met devotees who told me, I'm asking if they're reading Srila Prabhupada's books. They say, yes, we're reading the Bhagavatam, we're in such and such a canto. Are you reading the purports? No. Then how are we going to understand? It's a big task to read so many books. It takes quite a time, but if we don't read with the purports, how are we going to understand? Just like this example, Mohini Avatar. Who will understand the import of this or the purport of this, unless it's explained? How are we to understand this from a Vaishnava point of view, that Lord Shiva is captivated by the Mohini form and discharges semen in the presence of his own wife? How are we to understand this? This human sacrifice is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, not only the Jad Bharat story, but big rishis. Actually, Srila Prabhupada doesn't comment on that. Someone should comment. So, please read the purports also. It's good to get a general idea of the format of the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita just to read the verses. But actually, Srila Prabhupada, he stated to the first or second editor of the Bhagavad Gita as it is, that you take the get the translation from anyone. He said all the translations, they're more or less the same, but my purports are more important. You may think, well, it's the Gita that's most important, the verses that Krishna gives, but Srila Prabhupada, it's not that he said that what Krishna says is not important, but his purports are necessary to understand what Krishna is saying. So in this purport is quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which might sound highly sectarian. Devotees are good, non-devotees are not good. That's more or less the purport in brief. Who has got, there's a person who has akinchana bhakti, means nothing but devotion to Bhagavan, Krishna. In such a person, all the qualities of the demigods, saintly persons, they're to be found. But in a non-devotee, who is not a devotee of Hari, Harava Bhakta, a Harava Bhaktasya, Kutaha, where are the great qualities? So in a roundabout way, rhetorical question, stated that actually they may have some qualities, but they're not great qualities, because they're simply running around on the chariot of the mind in the external platform. Hovering on the mental plane and is certain to be attracted by the glaring material energy. So it sounds as if it's just we're good and they're bad. Of course, this is why we're studying Shastra, Srila Prabhupada's books, to understand that this is not simply a fanatical statement, but it's scientific. Srila Prabhupada often used the word scientific in relationship to Krishna consciousness. Scientific, how is that scientific? It means that jivesvarupoi Krishna nityadas, we're all part and parcel of Krishna. Please ask these children to make less noise. Or go and make it somewhere else. What was that you're saying about children? Children over. They didn't appreciate your presence. Children don't. Anyway. The by nature everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. And some verses were being quoted there from Bhagavad Gita, Yo Mad Bhakta Same Priyaha. Interestingly, these questions, at the second part of the 12th chapter of Gita, there are so many qualities on which I mentioned, Advaishta, Sarva Bhutana, Maitra Karna Evacha, Nirmama Nirhankara, all these qualities are mentioned. One who doesn't hate others but is a kind friend to others. Krishna says, Yo Mad Bhakta Same Priya. If he's a devotee and he's got these qualities, he's dear to me. But if he's a non-devotee and apparently has these qualities, he says specifically my devotee who has these qualities is dear to me. So others may seem to have qualities, good qualities, but they're simply hovering on the mental plane. It's not actually a good quality. And an example is often given, Srila Prabhupada gave the example, that someone may wish to feed a poor man. Srila Prabhupada, he often gave the example that helping the starving people. But Srila Prabhupada said, why feed them? Because they're ordained by God to starve. Because they've done something wrong. So it's just like a doctor, he won't give food to a diseased man. So people are starving. Why? That's ordained by God. That's meant for them, the all-kind God. So that's good for them. They let them starve. Was Srila Prabhupada's response. Difficult to understand if we're on the mental platform, if we're on the chariot of the mind. It would seem that it's good to feed hungry people. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada acknowledged that also. But he also said, you feed them and again they get hungry. So better to give them the knowledge by which they can be free from material life in which one has to suffer again and again and again. So one who is in contact with Krishna must be good because that is our constitutional position. That's what we're meant to be. If we're not serving Krishna, if we're not fixed in the consciousness of serving Krishna, then that automatically is wrong. Just like we in the prison, there may be a well-behaved prisoner, but he's still a prisoner, and he's supposed to be there because he did something wrong. So if we accept, theoretically, that everyone in prison are there because they did something wrong, then the fact that they're a well-behaved prisoner compared to a badly behaved prisoner means they're still wrong. They're intrinsically wrong to be there in the first place. So we're intrinsically wrong. We're going to the prison program after this. Mm-hmm. You give those kind of examples in the prison programs?
All the time.
All the time. But many of the prisoners don't accept that they ever did anything wrong. Isn't it? That's true. Sounds like the material world. Yeah. If something good happens, that's if I do something good, it's all me. But if something goes wrong, blame God. That example Srila Prabhupada gave, he cited his godbrother Sadananda Das from Germany, who said that during the war, Second World War, I guess, whatever, first or second, that all the men were sent out to fight. So in those days, there wasn't equal rights, so the women didn't go out to fight. Sometimes they'd send even the young boys, 13 or 14, but they wouldn't send the women. So the women were at home, or actually then they had to go to the factories and make all the machine guns and everything for the men to go out and fight. So they're praying, Dear God, please send home my father, brother, husband, son. And mostly they didn't come. So they all became atheists. So their belief in God, order carrier, this term, Srila Prabhupada used, derived, it's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say that order supply, we're asking God to be to supply the fuel for the blazing fire of our material desires. So Srila Prabhupada made it short, order supplier. So we have a blazing fire of desire in our heart, and God, He should give us the fuel to make it blaze more. So, Harava Bhaktasya, no, this Akinchana, Bhagavatya Kinchana, only one who is completely, without any material motive, wanting to serve Krishna, then automatically everything he does is good. This is a very important point to understand, because fools and rascals, terms that we've learned to use from Srila Prabhupada, who learned from Shastra, they may criticize Srila Prabhupada. If you see his character very closely, you may think, oh, he did this wrong, he did that wrong. But that is Vaishnava, Vaishnava Parad, to find fault in the topmost Paramahamsa devotee, who, what did he do? What was he doing here in America? He only came to uplift us. He had no other motive at any other point, at any moment in his existence, as we saw. He had no desire. Everything he did was for the benefit of the conditioned souls. So his heart is completely spotless and pure. So everything he does is good. Whereas a non-devotee, his heart is completely spotless and good, and he wants to, whatever he does is for the benefit of others. So we're not in a position to judge a pure devotee of Krishna. Whereas a non-devotee, whatever they do, it's on the material platform. It may be good, the motive to want to help others. But if we don't know how to help others, our so-called help may be more harm than help. Just like there's this idea to feed the Daridra Narayana. If we see, Narayana is everywhere, so there's Daridra Narayana. Srila Prabhupada really hated this idea, Daridra Narayana. It's very insulting to think that the poor man is God. We're all God, and I'm the rich God, and he's the poor God, so I should help him. So if we don't know Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, if we don't know the science of God, then it may sound very good. Oh yeah, everyone's God. Yeah, yeah, everyone's God. That's good, that's nice. We're supposed to respect everyone and love everyone. What more respect can you give to others than to see everyone as God? But it's mistaken. It's not respect. It's a great insult to He who is supreme. And it's by seeing everyone as God, that means we don't see anyone as supreme. God means the supreme. So if we don't accept Him as supreme, or if we want to say, well, everyone's supreme, it's meaningless. Then no one is supreme. Then there's no God. So we just have this sentimental idea that, well, everyone is God. I'm a rich God and you're a poor God. So I'll help you. I'll serve you by feeding you. Then what does the poor man like to have? Feed them meat. The Daridra Narayan, the poor Narayan, and then the goat is not God, Chagal Narayana. Bengali word for Narayan, Chagal. Prabhupada quoted this. You have to cut his throat, and then you give them bad karma by feeding them with meat. So in this way, due to not understanding our constitutional position in relationship with Krishna, which actually situates us in goodness. Goodness means what? That we want to do good for others means we want their welfare will be there. But our only actual welfare can be in relationship with Krishna. Relationship with Krishna means we are situated in Satyarananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss. And as long as we're not situated in our relationship with Krishna, however apparently saintly we may be, however good we may be, however much we may be lauded by persons who are like hogs, dogs, camels, and asses, we simply have to suffer repeated birth and death. So good means to be in relation with Krishna. And not good means not to be in relationship with Krishna. That's another definition. If we're to understand the science of Krishna, we have to understand various words clearly. What is the definition? Good means to be Krishna conscious. Bad means not to be Krishna conscious. God means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, specifically Krishna. I'm going to read from a transcript of a conversation that Srila Prabhupada had with what is mentioned in the Veda base as Indian Man 4. Although they don't put, when there's an American man, they don't put American man, but they put Indian man when it's an Indian man. I don't know why exactly, but they do. So Indian Man 4 says to Srila Prabhupada, "No, but Prabhu, how far is it fair that if one is religious, say chanting and regulations and everything he is doing, and on the other hand, he doesn't behave as a good, honest neighbor or friend?" So this is a common proposal that someone's doing their chanting, but they're not good, they're not well behaved in their day-to-day life. And Sanatana Goswami also mentioned this, that what is that? Apane acharine, this acha kare keho na kare pracha kare keho na kare acha. Acha pracha, what is that? Acha pracha name karaho dui karj tumi sarva guru tumi jagate arj. He said in relation to Haridas Thakur that some people, they perform their devotional principles very well, but they don't preach Krishna consciousness. Some preach, but they don't follow. But you, he said to Haridas, you do both in relation to the holy name. Therefore, you are the guru of everyone, and you are the best person in the whole universe. So this is a common and maybe valid criticism in some cases, that also we find in the life of Lord Jesus Christ, one thing that he stood out prominently, and that was a factor in others wanting to have him executed, was that he stood out against hypocrisy in the name of religion. Didn't like that at all. He didn't like the turning the temple into a place of commerce, selling pigeons and birds to be killed. He spoke a lot against hypocrisy. So this man is, Indian Man 4, is respectfully saying to Srila Prabhupada, it's a common and would seem to be a valid objection, that if someone is chanting, following the regulations, but he doesn't behave as a good, honest neighbor or friend, and Srila Prabhupada, as he often did, didn't wait till the end of the sentence, he cut in, which is considered impolite in the country that I was raised in this time round, in Britain. I don't know if it is in America. Is it? To cut someone out in the middle of a sentence? It's considered impolite. But Srila Prabhupada often did, as you'll see here as I read it out, because someone is building a proposition or an argument on a false basis. So if you can go on making the sentence, but already it's on a false basis. This is simple logic. So Srila Prabhupada cut him out. That good, honest, because he's saying he's not behaving as a good, honest neighbor. And Srila Prabhupada said, that good, honest, he already immediately cuts him out. That you have got some idea of good, honest. So we have an idea, he's good and honest. But Srila Prabhupada immediately says that he cuts out, and because he's chanting, he's all good. Srila Prabhupada says, building on the, this is the yasya asti bhaktiya bhagavatya kinchana, this well-known verse, which Srila Prabhupada quoted, I believe, at least twice in Gita as it is. Several verses he quotes more than once. He quotes this verse more than once in the Gita as it is, many times in his books. This tyagva swadharmam charanam bhujam haret. Three times he quotes, because that's, the whole Gita leads up to sarvadhaman parityajya. So Srila Prabhupada often quotes this verse, which I just quoted the first line of, which the purport, it elaborates on the sarvadhaman parityajya. What, that if one gives up all one's worldly duties to worship Krishna and doesn't achieve perfection in that, still, he's not the loser. But if one does all his worldly duties properly and doesn't worship Krishna, then he didn't gain anything substantial, which is similar, same as this theme, that one who is a devotee of Krishna is all good, and one who is not a devotee of Krishna can't actually be very good. So Srila Prabhupada cut this man out and said that if someone is chanting, he's all good. And devotees interjected, Jai. Maybe they were dishonest and chanting. I don't know. So now Indian man one says, Prabhupada, because he's chanting, sometimes a person gets a very false ego. How do those quarrels come about? We're talking about quarrels. Is it all Leela? Always argue, we're only arguing about how to serve Krishna, or is it about his false ego there? So the making what appear to be very valid propositions, and interesting that it comes just after when you're discussing these. I was already playing, I didn't know you were going to speak all those things. Sometimes a person gets a very false ego that he has become a very big devotee. He's serving the Lord, and he tries to, and again Srila Prabhupada cuts him out. That's all right. He's on the line of goodness. But those who are not chanting, they're all bad. Do you understand it or not? And then Srila Prabhupada quotes, Harava bhaktasya kato mahan guna. One who is not a devotee of God, he has no good qualification. You may propose that I am so much good, I am this, I am that, but it is all bogus things. Harava bhaktasya kato mahan guna manorate nasti dhavato bahi. He's simply concocting on the mind. And so far a devotee is concerned, even if you find some defect in him, he's a sadhu. Sadhu reva samantavyaha. Abhijet sudaracharo bhajate mamananya bhag sadhur eva samantavya. Srila Prabhupada quotes from Bhagavad Gita, and as he often did, if you find in Srila Prabhupada in his conversations, when he's speaking with Indians, he quotes Shastra considerably more than with non-Indians, and often he doesn't explain it either, because he presumes that the people listening already know the verse. And many cases they do, actually. I can say from my own experience that it used to be in India that you'd speak with people and you just say the verse and you don't have to give the translation because they know it. There used to be many people like that. Not now. Not now so much. So Srila Prabhupada quoted this. So the purport of this verse, which Srila Prabhupada just quoted, but he didn't give the explanation because he presumed that the people, I presume that he presumed that the people he's discussing with knew the meaning, that This is the Apichet Sudaracha. Even if someone is performing very bad activities, but is serving Krishna with very pure and sincere intention, then he should be considered saintly. Now I find some defective state, and then Srila Prabhupada quotes Shashvat Bhavati Dharmatma, Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma, Srila Prabhupada quoted that. Quickly, he becomes righteous. Again, Srila Prabhupada didn't supply the translation here. These defects will be out very soon. Don't bother, because he's a devotee, he's a sadhu. So even if there is some defect, we should know that if someone's chanting Hare Krishna, they're on the path of purification. Now, I heard an anecdote many years ago, and you could say it's a Prabhupada said. It's a Prabhupada said. That means there's no written evidence of this, and there's no video or anything like that. But anyway, it serves the purpose in India, one man came to Srila Prabhupada and said that, I just saw two of your disciples fighting, physically fighting. And it wasn't very uncommon, especially among Srila Prabhupada's Western disciples in India in the 1970s, for whatever reason it may be. I have personal experience. And one devotee told me that he once saw in Delhi, just outside Prabhupada's room, two GBCs punching each other out. Times have changed. It's more of, what is it you call it? Passive aggression, subtle aggression. It's more civilized nowadays. So the one man came to Srila Prabhupada and said that two of your disciples, they're fighting. And Prabhupada said, you're surprised they're fighting? I'm surprised they're chanting Hare Krishna. So it may be true, it may not be true, but it sounds good anyway. It gets the point is there. That for anyone in this world to be chanting Hare Krishna is amazing. For anyone in this world to fight, it's not amazing. I'd be surprised if then I'm not surprised that they're fighting. Srila Prabhupada, everyone's fighting. Symptom of Kali Yoga, either physically or verbally, and by the grace of Gopal Prabhu, I just learned something else. Passively. Never heard of that, but it's a good point. Passive aggression. What is it? You ignore people. We used to hear in Hong Kong, devotees would go for book distribution, and people would just completely ignore them. They'd walk up to, go into someone in an office and offer a book, and they just go on behaving as if they're not, they just don't exist. No one's there. As if you're just not there at all. Just completely ignore them. So that's a kind of passive aggression, isn't it? That's maybe worse than being told, get out of here. At least there's some personal interaction to get angry about. But you can't, what are you going to do if someone just completely ignores you? It's as if you're so unimportant that you're not even worth saying, get out of here to. Acknowledging your existence. So Srila Prabhupada is pushing this point very strongly here, because he's a devotee, he's a sadhu. So the Indian man 4 says, so you mean to say, Prabhu, truthfulness and honesty will come after chanting, chanting, chanting. And Srila Prabhupada goes on with his point without addressing this point. But those who are not devotees, there is no truthfulness at all. Here he has begun truthfulness. Srila Prabhupada is referring to the devotee. He has begun truthfulness. What does truthfulness mean? Truthfulness means to be acknowledging that I am an eternal servant of the absolute truth, who is Krishna. And outside of that, it's on the mental platform. Truth. Did you tell the truth? Huh? Who is that? George Washington said. Was it George Washington? It's a George Washington said. No, we don't have a video of it. I must admit, I did cut down the tree. Is it George Washington? Abraham Lincoln. Sorry, I'm from Britain. I have an excuse. American Apocrypha. We don't know. There is a video? It was George Washington. Anyway, one of those people who's got their head cut out on the stone. Isn't it? Somewhere in America, there's someone made big vigrahas of the faces of... Who is it? Washington, Lincoln, Jefferson? What the hell does it matter? giving Mahotsa a few laughs here. It's all right. You're allowed to laugh. Not too much. I'll tell you if it's too much. You're a devotee, no faults. Those who are not truthful, there's no truthfulness at all. Here, in Krishna consciousness, he has begun truthfulness, Srila Prabhupada says. But one who is not a devotee, he has no question of truthfulness. He's simply concocting in the mind. Manorateena. It's something like that example Srila Prabhupada often gave, that the thieves, after robbing the houses, they come back and they say, now we shall morally distribute the booty. See, we shall do it very fairly. We'll be good now. See, we stole so much stuff, and we're going to very fairly distribute it. Not that someone tries to get more by immoral means. So that's an analogy for the whole material existence. We're trying to be moral and good, but our basic situation is immoral and bad. So, harava bhaktasya kutoma, where are the good qualities in such a person? You may say, oh, they're very moral people, they're very good people, aren't they? They're cooperating with each other and very soberly distributing among themselves. But what do? They rob people's houses, and maybe cut some people's throats and took... But they're very moral people. You see how they're behaving. Very politely they're discussing. Actually, thieves don't do that, but as far as I know, as far as I can guess. But that analogy serves for the whole material situation. Being moral, the whole basic situation is immoral. Forgetting Krishna, rejecting, not just forgetting, but rejecting. First forgetting, then reject. Krishna Bhuli Sejiv, Anadi Bahimuk. Forgetting Krishna, one becomes inimical to Krishna. You may say, how can you forget and become inimical? But, well, that we see, that people, they don't want to take Krishna consciousness. They want to remain in a situation of forgetting Krishna. So he's simply concocting in the mind, Srila Prabhupada says. Manoratena, and because he's on the mental thing platform, he'll do all bad things. So all bad things means not to be Krishna conscious. Just like there's a series of books that were very popular. I don't know if they're popular now. It's called Chicken Soup for the Soul. With the I suppose the idea is that a mother feeds chicken soup to her children. It's a symbol of motherly love. Chicken soup for the soul. What do they mean, the soul? They have no idea what the soul is. But this idea that, so nice. So nice, the mother, she loves her children so much, she gives chicken soup, so nice. But what about the chicken? The chicken also has a mother and was a mother until you chopped her head off and fed. People don't think. It's amazing, people don't think. They're nice, good people, But they don't think that they're eating some animal who had to suffer so much. They don't think at all about this. So the Indian man says, Indian man 4 says, therefore a devotee must try to be honest and truthful. And Srila Prabhupada said, the devotee becomes automatically, if he sticks to the devotional principles, he'll become very good very soon. And this is, of course, the Kshipram Bhavati Dharmatma. Very soon, Kshipram, very soon, he becomes Dharmatma, he becomes situated in his proper dharma of service to Krishna. Just like he has stopped. A devotee means, just like we say, no illicit sex, no drinking or intoxication, no meat eating. So he has adopted this and chanting, that is perfect. That is perfect to be on this platform. 4 regulated principles, chanting Hare Krishna. Of course, there are levels of perfection, but this is the perfect platform for a person in this material world to come up, go out of it. So then an Indian man, 4, says, Prabhu, these things normally we say in India, women or even men, those who are in the village life, I don't say all, but most of them, they obey these things right from the very childhood itself. Now, this is something that Srila Prabhupada himself often pointed out, that in the Indian villages, people tend to be more pious. They, in his purport to this Bharata Bhumite Hoila Manusha Janma Javas, he writes that in India people are still afraid of these sinful activities. That was written in the 1970s. Now it's not true. It's changed to a large extent. He would often point out that the village people are more pious because they're not contaminated by education. But Srila Prabhupada on this occasion doesn't accept this proposal. This man says, talking about the village people, most of them they obey these things right from the very childhood itself. It means no meat eating. No, there's still many people in India who are vegetarians, especially in some areas. Not in Kerala, or most of South India now, people are meat eaters. Gujarat still, majority of the population. Maybe it's the only state in India where the majority of the population is vegetarian, but which is pious. But here, Srila Prabhupada cuts out the man again and says, we are jumping to the village. On this occasion, he doesn't accept this proposition. So the man's in response, well, the village is a little bit pure life, you know, but in the cities, of course, people get involved too much in, and again, Srila Prabhupada cuts him out and says, pure life, village, doesn't matter, village or city. If you become a devotee, then pure life. It is not that because one is living in the city, therefore he's polluted, one is living in the village, no, that is not. Unless one becomes a devotee, there is no question of becoming good. So on this, in this exchange, Srila Prabhupada is very much emphasizing this point. On other occasions, he would emphasize, yeah, we want to establish village communities, but not just to be in the village, because there are buffaloes in the village, and goats, and dogs, and snakes, and all kinds of living creatures. Simply by being in the village doesn't make one good. The farm community, it's Krishna-conscious farm community. That's the point. The point is that the village life is more conducive for chanting Hare Krishna, but it's not in and of itself the goal of life, to live in a village. So Srila Prabhupada's pointing this out. Unless one becomes a devotee, there is no question of becoming good. So this should be understood. What is the meaning of good? Good means to be a devotee of Krishna. Then there's a possibility of self-righteousness. I'm a devotee. These rascal demons, karmis, murhas. Yeah. Yeah, anyone who's not a devotee is a rascal, karmi, mudha, demon, whatever. So many things there. That's a fact. But then the devotee is enjoined to try to uplift the non-devotees and not even to think of himself as a devotee. We often see or hear someone says, well, I first became a devotee. Often I'm asked, well, when did you become a devotee? And I said, well, I'm still trying for that. To be a devotee is, it's not to say I'm a devotee. Conventionally, we may say, by devotee we mean someone who's a member of the Hare Krishna movement and who has tilak and chants Hare Krishna. But really to be a devotee means yasyasti bhakti bhavatya kinchana. Real devotee means who has no other motive than to serve Krishna. So to be a devotee is a very high level. Even one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples sent by post to Srila Prabhupada a poem that he had written in which he wrote, O Krishna, your devotee is called, referring to himself, is calling out. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back and said, no, devotee, you don't refer to yourself as a devotee. That's a very high level. So generally, das anudas, devotee presents himself as Hari Guru Vaishnav das anudas. And don't think that I have so many good qualities. Now there is also another very important consideration, which I won't get into now, I'll just mention it because of time, but it is a major consideration that people who are chanting Hare Krishna but who are not akinchana bhaktas, this word is used here in this verse, yasyasti bhakti bhagavati akinchana, who use the position of being a devotee to try to enjoy Krishna or exploit the situation, pseudo-devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur quoted one Tota Babaji who identified 13 upper sampradayas, and there was one Akhoy Kumar Datta who compiled a list of, I can't remember, 60 or more various groups who presented themselves as devotees of Krishna, but this was in Bengal, but who were deviant in so many ways. And yes, Srila Prabhupada refers to them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur quoted the Tota Babaji. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur proudly declared war against these misrepresentatives of Vaishnavism. And Srila Prabhupada also mentioned them in his purports, especially in his purports to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's necessary to understand the science of Krishna consciousness very deeply and carefully. We shouldn't think that, well, ISKCON means bona fide devotee. Anyone who's in ISKCON is bona fide, and anyone outside is bogus. That's not a scientific understanding. One can be in ISKCON superficially, but for ulterior motives. Or one can be in another sampradaya and be very pure-hearted, very seriously prosecuting Krishna consciousness. So that's also a consideration. But the basic point is that if anyone is engaged in devotional service, that will purify them. And even I recently came across, you must have seen Srila Prabhupada so many times criticized Mahatma Gandhi, Mohandas Gandhi, for misrepresenting the Bhagavad Gita. But I just came across recently that Srila Prabhupada said, well, he's studying Gita, at least he'll get some benefit, even if he's misrepresenting. So There may be different perspectives on this, on all these points, but the basic point that Srila Prabhupada is presenting in this purport to this verse is that anyone who is actually a devotee, they have good qualities. And those who are not devotees, they don't have good qualities. And even if a devotee appears to be bad or wrong, if they keep on with the process, they will improve, they'll get better, they'll get the mercy of Krishna. It's also very interesting because in this purport, Srila Prabhupada represents Arjuna as a pure devotee. His devotee is soft-heartedness. But then elsewhere, and Krishna himself slams Arjuna. Kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupastitam anarya jushtam asvaryam akirti karmaja. What are you talking about, Arjuna? What are you talking? All this nonsense. How have these impurities come upon you? Kashma, what are you talking? All these dirty things. At this time, if you want to talk all nonsense, but why now on the battlefield when you need to fight and you're talking about not fighting? So Krishna himself represents it as impurity. And the whole Bhagavad Gita is to convince Arjuna that his proposal not to fight is not just a strategic mistake, but it's an intrinsic mistake at the deepest level of the soul to deny what Krishna wants him to do. But then in this purport, Srila Prabhupada presents, oh, he's soft-hearted. He has that feeling of soft-heartedness. So how are we to understand all these things? Different perspectives may be there. Arjuna, of course, he's not as Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport, exactly I don't remember, maybe some of you can remember. Arjuna was lost in illusion of Maya, fallen soul, lost in the illusion of Maya. But then again we find that it's stated that Arjuna was placed in this situation, or overcome by grief, just to give Krishna to set up the situation for Krishna to speak Bhagavad Gita. So there are many subtle considerations. Arjuna, he's a good man, no doubt. He wanted good for everyone. He didn't want that others should fight and slaughter each other. So that's a good quality, but it was misplaced at this time. So I'll finish there. Hare Krishna. And we'll have Arati. We should have one or two questions. We have time. Is there supposed to be something else after this? I think there was something. Oh, afterwards. He has his presentation. Yeah, okay. All right. Regarding questions, we have one or two, I think, questions and answers. Yeah, two questions and answers sessions scheduled for tomorrow. Oh, and maybe we'll just do one. But there's one scheduled at 12 noon tomorrow. Not much time, actually, because there can be so many questions. But if you'd like to place a question to myself or Jayadvaita Maharaj, please write it down clearly, make it brief and to the point, and then we can answer to the best of our ability. Anything now on this topic, controversial topic? What happened to that? You got that, okay. Other microphone.
My question is, while presenting to the Prabhupada books to newcomers, especially from England and Rome, do we straightforwardly mention that this is all about Bhakti Yoga, or?
Do we mention that it's all about Bhakti Yoga to Indians?
Or should we find a way that inspires them to take the books and get them?
Find a way to inspire them to take the books. Well, the two propositions are not necessarily contradictory. Yeah, but the thing is to get them to take the books. That's the main thing. For instance, we often find that there are still, in America here also, many people who consider themselves to be devotees of one Baba, who was in South India, who used to have big hair and ended up in a wheelchair before he went off to see Yamaraj. So they're often, it's very strange how they're sentimentally pious, but as far as spiritual knowledge, obviously they're completely devoid of any proper spiritual knowledge. Otherwise they wouldn't be devotees of this Baba. So we want to sell them, but they'll often take the books. So it might not be a good idea to try to convince them on the spot that what you're doing is all nonsense, which it is. It's very offensive, actually. But give them the books, let them take the books. So whatever sells the books, that's the general principle. Let's give the mic.
Whereas the philosophy that has been propounded in some sections, it may be considered as being holier than thou, or also
being holier than thou.
Or it may also be considered as
self-righteousness, is it?
Or it may also be considered as a siege mentality. If you look at all the cults that have come about.
Siege mentality.
Us versus them mentality.
Us versus them mentality.
So how do we explain all these misconceptions?
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
If you take a typical cult, they also have, they profess the same things.
They say, yeah, we're right and they're wrong.
Yes.
Well, then we have to come to philosophy and discuss and see. If you say that there's no ultimate right or wrong, what would you say? If someone says to you, there's no ultimate right or wrong, how would you reply to that? Is what you just said right or wrong? That's it. They were going to say that. Yeah. So this idea that there's no actual truth, we can't properly know anything. It's an absolute statement saying there's no absolutes. It's a self-defeating proposition. So there is right and there is wrong, but let's try and understand it more deeply. But most people, they're fools, right? Why do we say that? They don't understand the most basic point that, again, we see Srila Prabhupada did. Again and again and again to his own disciples and to others, the point that he emphasized more than any other, again and again and again, I haven't made a statistical analysis. We are not the body. We're eternal spirit soul. We go from body to body because of forgetfulness of Krishna. The point, we're not the body. Most people don't understand it. Even if you say that Hindus, they understand. They don't understand it. Otherwise they wouldn't be living as they are. So that's the first thing. Actually, we're talking so much about philosophy, this, good, bad. First thing should be established. We're not the body, we're eternal living beings. We're going from body to body. Without understanding that, we can't understand anything. Philosophy or whatever. It's just mental speculation. The whole Western civilization, they're so proud of the Greeks and this and that. They don't understand the most basic point. And what all their philosophy, it's all a big edifice built up on sand, or it has no actual foundation. So Srila Prabhupada presented this, and I strongly feel that that's what our movement should be doing, very strongly promoting. Reincarnation is a fact. First of all, understand this. We're talking about personality development and what is it? How to live amicably with others and all that. Well, first of all, understand who are we? What is our personality? It's not, we take our personality to be this, the present amalgam of misconceptions, attachments that I've inherited from the three modes of nature from my previous births. But that's not our personality. We don't know what it means. We don't even know what it means to be a person. Person means to be an eternal, spiritual, living being. That's the first thing. And then specifically in relationship with the Supreme Controller, who is Krishna. So all these things should be promoted. Otherwise, where's the discussion? We're discussing with people in total misconception. So that should be emphasized. That point should be established first. Even all this interfaith and this and that, I'm not a great fan of it, because unless we understand that we're not the body, we're going from body to body, then what will people understand? What's the discussion? First, that should be understood.
Maharaj, if a person is chanting Hare Krishna, that should be the ultimate solution to all his faults in due course.
If a person is chanting Hare Krishna, that should be the ultimate solution to all his faults in due course. Srila Prabhupada also emphasized they should follow the principles.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's like pouring petrol on a fire from one hand and water from the other. You get a lot of smoke, maybe a little fire, but it won't have the proper effect. So it's a whole science. The principles are to be followed. Chanting means we have to do under the guidance of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. The effect will be there quickly if we follow the principles. If we don't, then it won't have so much effect. If we're sitting at home watching TV, patting our dog, eating biscuits from the shop, and we go to a Kirtan Mela once a year, that's not going to help very much. Instead, if our home is actually a temple where we rise early every morning, chant the holy names, strictly follow the process, that will help us more. One more question, then we'll have the arati.
Maharaj, you recently just said that we should emphasize that we are not the body. That's the most basic principle, and reincarnation should be stressed upon. And I also felt that if someone really understands or believes in the concept of reincarnation, there is no...
The fact of reincarnation, actually.
Yeah, yes.
Not just a concept.
Yes. Then there would be no other way, no other thing than to accept that.
It's a beginning. To understand that we are going from body to body to body is a beginning. But just like I said, most Hindus, they believe in it in a vague way, but they're not very serious about it. Because along with the understanding that we're not the body comes the understanding that we're suffering birth after birth. And that's the central point of Buddhism, isn't it? Lord Buddha taught, this world is full of misery. But most Buddhists are quite busy enjoying this material world. Especially in Thailand, a heavily Buddhist country. I lived there for some time. Where the most important thing in life for Thai people is sanuk, which means, translates as ananda, which means bodily pleasure. For them, that's the most important. You tell them about... Anyway, I don't want to get into that too much, but the point is that without rigid spiritual training and association, that Maharaj is calling satang prasangan mamavir, without association of devotees, then just theoretically believing, or believing in reincarnation because I was born as a Buddhist or I was born as a Hindu, it won't help us much. That's why we have to read Srila Prabhupada's books with the purports, hear his lectures and conversations, and just hear again and again and again. That will purify. Because we've got so many attachments in our mind, and we're attached to them. We're strongly attached. Santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam ukti bihi. How do we get rid of those attachments? We should be intelligent. Tato du sangam utsritja satsu sajeta buddhiman. If we're intelligent, buddhiman, then we, seeing this world is miserable, we should associate with sadhus. And what do sadhus do? They cut the material attachments with their words. So we should be ready to hear this. This is why. We don't hear Srila Prabhupada talking about love and peace in a very vague way and just be nice to each other. No. He spoke the message of Shastra. All these people talk of love and peace, but they end up peacefully in another womb. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. That's what goes on. It's another manifestation of envy of Krishna. This whole idea that live nicely in this material world, be good in this material world, is just another manifestation of envy of Krishna. That we'll live happily in this world, the kingdom of God without God. Or maybe, yeah, God's there. Okay, yeah, we also believe in God. He's there and He blesses us. And we go to the sadhus and they bless us. And we live very nicely and happily in this material world by God's blessing. And then we'll go to the kingdom of God and we'll enjoy ourselves there also. The whole mentality of wanting to enjoy separately from Krishna is the disease that keeps us in material life. So the chanting of Hare Krishna has to be accompanied by this hearing, Shravan Kirtan. Shravan comes first. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that there's in one song of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there's a phrase, Gaura Bihita Kirtan, the kind of kirtan that is approved by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, first there has to be Gaura Bihita Shravan. For kirtan to actually be kirtan, we have to hear properly. Otherwise, it may be the screaming of some material, on the material platform. May not be the holy name, actually. Ashadu Sange Bhai Krishna Nam Nahi Hoi. Bahire nam akor bate tabu nam kabunai. That's from Prem Vivarta by Jagadananda Pandit. He says that without the association of devotees, or in the association of non-devotees, asadhu sangha, the name of Krishna never manifests. They may sound like it, but it's not the holy name. So we have the holy name, sung by Sadhu. Vatsal Prabhu, you can lead the Gaur Arati Kirtan. Please do so. Have the arati now. Oh, one more point.
A final quick point. On the idea that the merit of book is, of distributing the book is whatever makes it, gets it across. I want to mention Durvan that Maharaj is certainly expert in this idea. The first ever English Christmas marathon was in 1975, and the devotees.
And you and I were together.
That's right.
He was my Sankirtan leader. He was really strict. I got it all from him. It's all his fault.
Devotees went down into the London Underground train system with huge bags full of BTGs, and were going to a train compartment, make an announcement and distribute the BTGs. And Maharaj came in top place by quite a long way. So I'm just saying that he understands this principle.
Jai Hare Krishna.
Oh. But you always used to do more books than me.
Not that time,
no. When we were out traveling all over distributing Krishna books mostly, wasn't it? You know George Harrison? He sold so many books, George Harrison, just by his name being in the book. We'd point it out. We're good salesmen. Now, you know George Harrison. And then they'll say yes. And that immediately, when they're saying yes, immediately gets them in the positive consciousness for taking the book. If you go now and say, do you know George Harrison? A lot of people will say no. So famous and now forgotten. Krishna's going on. George Harrison is too. He got Prabhupada's blessing. So, kirtan, jai, Hare Krishna. Jai Advaita Swami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Hare Krishna.